Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the version of hedonistic moral theory that we call Epicureanism, there is a very important distinction that is made between pleasures of the body and pleasures of the mind. Now, I do want to say something here to clear up any confusions. The Epicureans were materialists, so they don't believe that there's something like a soul that's separate from the body or a mind that is separate from the body. They believe that both body, in the sense of what we have right here, and mind are things that are material. When you look at their actual physical theory about that, it's not very plausible now. They thought that the mind was essentially located in the chest, and that it consisted of these very, very tiny, very fine particles spread throughout the entire bodily system. Unlike the parts of the body, which could be separated off and, you know, die afterwards, cut off a finger, the mind is diffused through the entirety of the frame. So if we put that sort of worry aside, we could think about it today in terms still of things that are primarily about the body, like eating, drinking, having sex, getting a massage, laying in the sun, those sorts of things. And then pleasures that really are mental pleasures. We would say, you know, things that are concerned with the brain. And we're not just thinking about pleasures, but also about their opposites, pains. Remember, too, there are more than one kind of pleasure. For the Epicureans, there's the static pleasures and then the kinetic or moving pleasures. But we're going to just deal with them all in the same way here. Now, there's a contrast that's being made here that's different from the other hedonists, particularly the Cyrenaic school. The Cyrenaic school, following Aristippus, said that bodily pleasures are really where it's at, that they're more intense, they're in some respects more real than the things that we call mental or intellectual, or however you want to put them, spiritual, whatever kinds of pleasures. Epicurus took the other position, and he provide some sort of arguments or grounds for why that would be. So let's look at the distinction here. One major point of contrast has to do with what we call temporality, time, right? If you think about the nature of bodily pleasures, they are completely time-bound while you're feeling them, while you're experiencing them, while you're enjoying them. So a great example is drinking, you know, a cup of cold water after going out and doing some yard work on a hot day. Right? You drink the water, that pleasure is very intense at that moment. That's actually sort of a pleasure that's derived by getting rid of a pain. That pleasure is very intense, but it's very short-lasting. As soon as you have some satisfaction in it, the water doesn't even really taste the same. The water tastes better when you're really thirsty than just a few minutes afterwards. It's the same thing with a lot of foods. You know, the first bite, the first couple bites of a dessert, great. As it goes on, there's a little bit of a lack, a kind of insipidity to it. And, you know, you can only keep tasting the dessert so long as your taste buds are working. I mean, I suppose you could, like, create some sort of gum or sticky thing that you can put on your tongue and taste chocolate all day long, but, you know, you wouldn't be able to talk or anything like that. I suppose you could find some way to stimulate those neurons inside the brain. But then, you know what you're doing? You're not actually enjoying the thing bodily. You are stimulating the mind, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Consider other pleasures. There's this really famous passage in Henry Miller, I forget which book it is, where he's talking about, well, why don't we just take it easy all the time? Why do we work? And he said, well, you know, it's really the only thing that we can do for 8 hours a day. There's a hell of a lot of stuff that's much more entertaining than that. For Henry Miller, of course, it was having sex. But you can't have sex for 8 hours a day. I mean, if you can, then I suppose that would turn into a job, you know? And so work is the only thing, he says, that we can actually stand to do for that long. But he's onto something. You cannot have the same enjoyment, the same intensity of bodily pleasure, very long-lasting for most of the things that we conceptualize as bodily pleasures, the things that we experience as bodily pleasures. So they exist in the present time. You experience it right now, and then it's gone. Now it no longer exists as such, just like the present moment is gone. Here's where the mind shows its superiority over the body, according to Epicurus. Mental pleasures do occur in a present, but that present can extend itself through time. How does that happen? Well, remember things. Remember the pleasure that you had at a certain time. You can even take a bodily pleasure that you've experienced, and then by bringing it into memory, you sort of reactivate it. It's not quite the same as a you know, intense bodily pleasure. For things that actually are mental pleasures in and of their own right, it's just as intense, perhaps even more so, when you remember it, when you contemplate it, when you think upon it, when you imagine it. We also project ourselves into the future by hoping, by fearing when it comes to pains. Oh, God, I hope I don't get cancer. Really, when you say, I hope I don't get cancer, you're saying, I'm afraid of getting cancer, right? And what are you afraid of? Epicurus would say, well, you're afraid of all those things that are going to go along with it. So when you're worrying, that is actually a mental pain, according to Epicurus. That is much worse than a physical pain, because the physical pain just happens at a present time, and then it's gone, right? But if you remember the pain, if you project ahead about the pain, if you're dwelling on it, that can be much worse. So mental pleasures and pains have a much greater potential for being greater in a number of respects. One is in terms of temporality. Another has to do with intensity itself. So Epicurus says that physical pleasures and pains, you can have one or the other with them. They can either be intense or they can be long-lasting, but you can't have both. If you've got a pain and it's long-lasting, after a while it doesn't bother you quite so much. It kind of gets dulled over time. There's a natural thing to this for our bodies. Things that we originally find quite painful cease to be so, not just by habituation, but because, you know, we can only be stimulated so much. Same thing with pleasure, too. People can actually ruin themselves for experiencing certain levels of pleasure by having so much physical pleasure. You just can't have that much intensity and duration at the same time. You can, however, with mental pleasures, according to Epicurus. Mental pleasures and pains can be both long-lasting and intense. You know, he uses primarily examples of pains, but we can also think of pleasures as well, particularly if we're thinking about the static pleasures that are derived by a condition of rest and freedom from pain, from fear, from worry, from trouble. But if we're thinking about mental pains, think about the sorts of things that happen to people that have made a really tragic, stupid, horrible decision that they have to live with the rest of their life. That can be quite intense, and that can go on for a very, very long time until they figure out some way to, you know, forgive themselves or be absolved of that or learn how to forget what's going on. Whereas, you know, with physical pains, that's not really the case. Same thing with mental pleasures. They can be very intense, and they can increase over time. What else do we need to say about this? So Epicurus also says physical pleasures cannot really be accumulated as different physical pleasures. So think to yourself, he's not telling us an awful lot in the passages where he brings this up, but think to yourself about going out for a really nice dinner at a restaurant where things, you know, there's a lot of attention to detail and to planning as far as the meal. You know, multi-course meal with a beautiful setting. Maybe there's some music going on at the same time. There's a certain ambiance that's created. Epicurus says, well, you can only get so far with that. You know, when it comes to cuisine, you've got your taste, you've got your plating. I forget what the other categories are. I mean, you could, you know, have all sorts of other categories that you build into it as well. But each one can only admit of so much pleasure. So they can't really be accumulated as distinct, different pleasures. It's not like you can keep piling up on top of each other and eventually reach some height of pleasure. So that first you start out with, let's say, being in a diner and having a patty melt, right? And then you say, all right, I'm going to switch it out for a gourmet patty melt, you know, made with Wagyu beef and the special onions that some chef caramelizes just the right way, right? Okay, so you're increasing the intensity of pleasure there, right? Now it's no longer going to be a diner. It's going to be a beautiful restaurant overlooking a mountain valley so you can look down and you've got this spectacular view. And instead of it being whatever radio station is playing at the diner, it's going to be wonderful classical music to fit the thing. And your drink that you'll have with it will be a perfect wine paired with it. Epicurus would say, well, yeah, that's nice, but you're not like piling one pleasure on top of each other. You're just like laying out a whole bunch of pleasures. And if you're attending to one of them, you're not paying attention to the other one. You can only get so far with that. He also says, pleasure in the body has a limit for the intensity once pain has been removed. It only admits of variation. So there's like a certain limit that you get to, and you can't really increase pleasure beyond that. You can just introduce new types. So, and this is actually what we have to do. I'm going to listen to this song, and I find this so pleasurable. Now, imagine, I'm going to keep playing that song over and over again. People do that when they first buy, well, I mean, now, you know, people don't buy CDs anymore, I think. People now buy albums because they want to show how hip they are. But most people buy MP3s. You get an MP3 of your favorite band, and there's this one song. You just listen to it over and over again. That'll work for a while. Of course, you're probably driving everybody else around you nuts. That's because that's not pleasurable for them. But after a while, you got to switch it to something else. Or it's not going to be pleasant anymore. It's lost its charm. Well, what about mental pleasures? You can actually increase the intensity of them. And they can sort of function as a composite. The other thing I want to point out with mental pleasures, there are two things that Epicurus really stresses, even more in the Vatican sayings than he does in the Principal Doctrines or the letter to Menoceus, that the mental pleasures include some of the most pleasant, pleasurable things. One of these is friendship. Friendship is a long-term thing. You can't subsume friendship under just a physical pleasure. It's not something just, you know, available at a moment, but by definition, right? It's not a relationship. If it only exists at one given point in time, there has to be a kind of continuity to it. And you can, in fact, build a lot of things into a friendship, including plenty of physical pleasures. He's not against physical pleasures. He's just saying, look, they only go so far. But friendship itself is a pleasure of the mind. You are in a relation to the other person as a personality, as somebody who has a mind, somebody with whom you can share things. Now, intellectual activity, Epicurus also considers very pleasurable. And he thinks that philosophy, and this is going to be a big stretch for many of you, philosophy is something where it's unlike many other kinds of pleasures where you have to be initiated into it and develop a certain amount before you can begin to actually feel pleasure. He says, no, you start doing philosophy, you'll feel pleasure. So, you know, what would that mean? You took an intro to philosophy class and you didn't feel pleasure, but rather mental pain instead. Man, your instructor's doing it wrong. Or they didn't give you the right kind of philosophy. If we broaden it and we talk about learning in general, different people are interested in different things. Some people are really interested in military history. They couldn't care less about other topics. Some people want to know sports stats, right? And why do they want to know them? I don't know. But, you know, some people are really into that sort of thing. Some people want to know everything they can about certain kinds of flowers. Other people, for everybody you pick, there's something that they're interested in. And that intellectual activity of learning about it, talking about it, thinking about it, that can be intensely pleasurable. And now you could, of course, steer it into higher things as well, but it can be extremely pleasurable. One, you know, great example of this, a contemporary example, if you've ever spent, or rather lost, 4 hours on the internet going from site to site to site, researching something, and I put researching in scare quotes because that's what we tell ourselves we're doing, but what we're really doing is enjoying the intellectual activity of like, hey, there's more about this. I'm interested in this. I have to admit, I've done that with the wiki of Ice and Fire, you know, with George Martin's universe. I've done that with Wikipedia itself for classic heavy metal bands because there's links that you can follow out everywhere. A lot of us can relate to that sort of activity. It's a lot easier to do now that we have the internet available, right? But that's a pleasurable activity, and that's not subject to the sort of constraints that merely physical or bodily pleasures are subject to. So Epicurus is very strongly stressing the superiority of mental pleasures and correlatively is arguing the fact that mental pains are much more devastating, much more troubling than merely physical pains.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.